Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. It's going to be a great show. It's a great day. Hasn't this been a wonderful spring and summer? I just love it. It's like we live in the tropics now. I imagine the Columbus firefighter that got struck by lightning isn't loving it so much, and I hope he's okay. But it's just been great. Now, just like today's show, today we have Dr. Praveen Irani. He is a DDS, a PhD. He's live from Bethesda, Maryland, and we're going to be talking about his groundbreaking research using low-level lasers to regrow tooth structure from stem cells. It's really, really cool. I'm so happy that he was able and willing to be on my show today. And what we're going to do is we're going to read you his bio, and then we'll bring him on live. Dr. Irani completed his initial dental training in general dentistry and residency in oral pathology in 2001 from India. He did postdoctoral fellowships in basic sciences at the Indian Institute of Sciences in Bangalore, India, and National Cancer Institute, NIH Bethesda. He then completed a PhD residency program at Harvard University in 2011 and was a Harvard Presidential Scholar. He is currently an assistant clinical investigator at the National Institute of Dental and Craniofacial Research, National Institutes of Health, Bethesda. He has over 40 publications, including 3 book chapters, and is the recipient of numerous awards, such as the NCI Director's Young Investigator Award, NIH Merit Award, Wound Healing Society's Young Investigator Award, Eugene Seidner Scholar, among others. Dr. Irani's research is focused on the molecular mechanisms and clinical applications of light therapy to promote wound healing and tissue regeneration. Dr. Irani's scientific interests have focused on the role of growth factor signaling in wound healing and regeneration. His lab attempts to identify key biological regulatory components that can be used in clinical studies to control biological outcomes. His lab uses a range of cell and molecular biology tools in tissue culture and scaffold-based model systems. Further, a large emphasis is placed on validation in animal models and moving them forward into human clinical trials. His other major areas of interest are the molecular dichotomy of wounds and tumors, cell signaling regulatory networks, and transforming growth factor B biology. So, Dr. Irani, thank you so much for being on my show. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me, Dr. Kvitko.
This is really great. This is really cool. So tell me about this groundbreaking research. I want to hear it from, you know, the horse's mouth, as they say.
So basically, our research has outlined a mechanism for how laser light is able to interact with biological tissue. And in our specific case, in the dental context, we are able to activate a growth factor called TGF-beta. And this growth factor, in turn, can drive dental stem cell differentiation to form dentin.
Okay. You form dentin.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the end point in our assays in this experiment, in this study.
So now, how is this different from the reparative dentin or tertiary dentin that we dentists can already grow when we apply calcium hydroxide near the pulp or into the pulp of a tooth, of a live tooth?
So our positive control in our experiments was calcium hydroxide, which is the standard of care. Certain newer materials like MTA and EMD have also been used successfully. In contrast to these cement dressings, our technique does not introduce an artificial material like a cement or a dressing into the tooth structure. We are just using light. Treatment of non-invasive near-infrared light was adequate to generate dentin. So this is a little different from what we're currently used to in the clinic.
Okay, well, that's really neat. Now, you can only regrow dentin, though. You can't regrow enamel, right?
Ah, that's the gold standard. No, unfortunately, the cells that make enamel, as you're aware and your audience would be aware of, are ameloblasts, which make enamel.
Right.
Unfortunately, ameloblasts are shed during the tooth eruption, and therefore these cells are not present in the mouth. So to make enamel is much more difficult.
Couldn't you gather some of the ameloblasts from, say, the capsule of an unerupted wisdom tooth?
That would be a possibility. Unfortunately, unlike dentine, which we understand in terms of what drives dentine differentiation, this growth factor that we know of, TGF-beta, is capable of driving dentine differentiation. We do not have a clear picture of what enamel cues are necessary. So even if we were able to get ameloblasts, like you said, from wisdom teeth and other unerupted teeth, we are the knowledge in the field is not there in terms of what can drive enamel formation.
Okay. So, for example, the headlines of the story about your research read something like this: scientists use laser to regrow teeth from stem cells. Then it goes on to read, quote, imagine if a trip to the dentist to treat a cavity didn't involve a filling, a root canal, or a crown. What if simple light treatment could actually get your teeth to regrow themselves? So, sounds like the author, which, by the way, was Lisa Winter, sounds like they kind of misunderstood what you're actually able to do.
So, when we were explaining our research, we were trying to outline the clinical outcomes of what we would be able to achieve. And the specific technical term we used was, we are trying to replace pulp capping.
Right.
To the dentist, this is evident that this is the first stage. Should you be able to do pulp capping, you would not need to go to a root canal and eventual tooth loss.
Right. Let me just explain a pulp cap real quick, because we have what we call an indirect pulp cap and a direct pulp cap, and we currently do this. So if we have a cavity that's very close to the nerve, but we're thinking there's maybe just a little, there might be just a few microns of healthy tooth there, but if we took our hand instrument, we could scrape through, scrape it off and create an opening into the nerve center, we would stop and we would put calcium hydroxide and let it wait, and then the tooth would grow some reparative dentin. It would actually make the pulp chamber smaller, and you'd have this dentinal bridge, and then that person would not need a root canal. And a direct pulp cap is where there's a tiny, tiny little pinpoint opening into the pulp chamber, and you do the same thing, and they don't work as well or as often, but they do work sometimes. But
that's
anyway,
right.
I interrupted you, so go ahead.
Yeah, so that's absolutely correct. So that's the procedure that we were trying to replace with the laser treatment. And as you outlined clearly, you need viable dental cells inside the pulp for this procedure to occur. If you did not have that, if you had a necrotic or an inflamed pulp, the responses would not be as evident as we have been able to demonstrate.
Exactly. That was going to be one of my other questions, which is you can't wait until you have this full-blown abscessed tooth, because now there's nothing alive in there for you to stimulate.
Absolutely. The light is not able to bring dead cells alive. That does not happen. What we can do is basically drive the endogenous, the natural reparative process by this technique.
And so you are using a low-level laser light and you're stimulating stem cells.
That is right. That is correct.
Okay. We always do a Dr. Kvitko question of the day, and I think we're going to be doing that here in just a minute. So, in fact, you know what? I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and do it now. But before we do, we'd like our audience to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right, and let me remind folks that the winner will receive free flowers from Weistember Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The question of the day is, my guest today, Dr. Pavin Arani, is involved in groundbreaking research that has allowed him to regrow tooth structure, in this case dentin. What is he using to do so? Is it A, x-rays and dental sealants, B, low-level lasers and stem cells, or C, toothpaste and denture adhesive? All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weistember Florist. The number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko & Associates. Estás escuchando Dental Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su sesión favorita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth crooked, and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months, between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us, 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Hi, I'm Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1. I flew all the way to Columbus to have Dr. Kvitko do my cosmetic dentistry, and I am so happy with the results. Thanks, Dr. Kvitko. You're the best. Just so you know, I'm going to come back to have you do my regular dental care, too. I can't wait.
All right, we're back. We're doing Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. We have four callers on the line. We have Sherry, Tina, Becky, John. The question is, my guest today, Dr. Praveen Irani, is involved in groundbreaking research that allows him to regrow tooth structure. What is he using to do so? Is it A, x-rays and dental sealants, B, low-level lasers and stem cells, or C, toothpaste and denture adhesive? Hey, Dr. Irani, do me a favor. Pick a number between 1 and 4.
2.
He's going with 2. 2 would be Tina. Hey, Tina, how are you?
How are you?
Good. Do you have our answer?
B, yeah.
Low-level lasers and stem cells, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
sure,
that's
not
correct.
You sure it's not the toothpaste and denture adhesive?
Yeah, I'm sure. We could all do that on our own if it was.
Right. Hey, what do you do for a living, Tina?
I'm sorry?
What do you do for a living? I'm curious.
Customer service rep.
Okay. Good. You sound like you're a great customer service rep. Happy, go-lucky, that sort of thing, right? Bubbly?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Well, hey, hang on the line. I wish I could send you a new tooth that made by Dr. Irani, but we're not quite there yet. Instead, we'll send you flowers from Vice Number Florist, okay?
Okay, that sounds awesome. Thank
All right.
You.
Have a great day. All right. So while my producer's getting her information, let's go back to Dr. Irani. So, okay, Dr. Irani, now, my next question is, even if we can regrow a person's dentin, so dentists are still going to have to place a filling over that hole, correct? Or crown or whatever.
That's correct.
Okay. So the big takeaway here is you may be able to help patients around the world avoid root canals if they get into the dentist soon enough. And is there anything else? What other procedures that I do now and you do now as a dentist, because you're also a dentist, will we maybe not be needing to do if this research pans out?
Right. So the other place that we would like to make dentine would be in case of tooth sensitivity.
Oh, good one. Good one. Yeah.
So you know, as a dentist, that what we do when we have... So just to explain tooth sensitivity, as we grow older, our gums, the gingiva, recedes, exposing the root surface. Now, the heart tissue on top of the root cementum gets abraded when we eat and drink and do our regular oral habits. When that happens, the tooth becomes sensitive to hot and cold foods, and then you are prescribed desensitizing toothpaste that you basically have to use for the rest of your life.
Right.
That blocks the tubules, the dentine tubules, from the outside. In contrast to that, if you were able to use laser treatment, and this has been tried in a couple of clinical studies, you find that you can protect the tooth and reduce sensitivity. And we believe the mechanism involves possibly the deposition of dentine on the inside intrinsic barrier inside the tooth.
Okay, so you would actually be laying down a little bit extra dentin on the inside wall of that outside part of your tooth, so that the pulp chamber gets a little smaller there.
Right. But again, this has to be validated. We haven't done the dentine desensitization experiments yet, but that would be the rationale to generate dentine to reduce tooth sensitivity.
Oh, cool. That's a good one. So we're not going to grow tooth. It's not going to get, like, we'll still need a filling on the outside, but we won't have the sensitivity anymore.
That is correct.
Okay. And so part of the takeaway from what we're hearing you explain is that people are still better off, much better off, going to their dentist and keeping things healthy, making sure their cavities are fixed when they're small, because at some point you're going to maybe have this breakthrough, and I will then be able to prevent root canals and things if they still have a healthy vital tooth.
Absolutely. So preventive care is number one to negate any future requirement for these techniques. And absolutely, as you emphasized, going to your dentist regularly goes a long way in terms of maintaining your normal tooth structure in their best forms.
And you know why I asked that is because when I researched your research online, I found a bunch of people who commented that they would like to sign up to be in the human trial. They think you can grow them a new tooth. So first, how soon do you think the human trials will start? And second, can people actually volunteer, or do they have to be randomly selected?
Right. Let me start by saying that the human trials are planned and they are not yet initiated. So hopefully in the future, and I can't give you a timeline because these regulatory processes take a really long time to figure out. But having figured out a mechanism for how the light works, the question that we are currently pursuing is it safe, and what is the best effective dose that we can deliver? Now, as you see from the research, the experiments were done in rats and mice, in small animals, and in human cells derived from wisdom teeth extractions and orthodontic extractions. So we know that the process works in human cells, but we have only tried this in the lab. So current research is trying to outline the safety and the efficacy parameters so we can go ahead and do human studies.
Okay. And then when you do the studies, and I know it's way down the line, are people allowed to volunteer, or do you just have to randomly select them, maybe people that come to the dental college that you're associated with?
Right. So we would normally have a public announcement for the trials when it is announced, and you will be able to sign up. But this is not planned in the near future yet, because we still have to complete more studies.
Right. And once a human trial begins, it takes about 5 years from beginning to end. Is that true?
That depends on, you're aware that dentine to be radiographically detected will take at least 6 months, even with the best high-resolution techniques that we can find. And both the analysis part and the patient recruitment part defines the length of the clinical trial.
I see. Okay. Hey, I have several more questions. I'm enjoying this immensely. We have to go to another break, though, so you can hang with us, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we will be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. The other day, I saw a dental office TV commercial that said they make their dentures in days, not weeks. Well, guess what? We now offer the Lorel One-Step Denture, which means we can make your denture in about an hour. You heard me right. Dentures in about an hour, and on top of that, they cost only half as much as traditional dentures. If you have a few teeth that need removed first, we can do that at the same time and still make your dentures in about an hour. Interested? Call us at 262-9588. That's 262-9588.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? Porcelain veneers can make your teeth sparkle again, and all in two visits. Interested? Give us a call at 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa! And I go to Dr. Kvitko and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
Tell him make me a grill. I might be grilled out nicely. Oh. In my white tee. Oh. On South Beach. Oh. When I
open up your mouth, your grill gleaming.
Gleaming.
I say, let me see your grill.
Let me see my boy.
And we're back. Dr. Arani, I picked that song for you. Because they said, make me a grill, right? And that's what people think.
Yeah, that's the best inspirational video or audio I've heard.
Okay, so I thought it would be fun. All right, now, Let's see here. Now, the, oh, what did I do with my page? Had my list of, oh, there they are. Okay. So, now, how long have you been working on this project?
So, this particular project has taken 7 years to complete.
Oh, my goodness.
We've been working on low-level light for the for over 14 years now.
14 years, and you've been working on this one for 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a BioLase water laser in my office. I also have a diode laser. Will either of those lasers be the ones that I would eventually be using for your procedure if this all pans out?
We could use those devices. What we need to do is define the dose better. And unless we work with the specific device manufacturer, I cannot comment on whether it will be able to do that exactly.
Okay, so right now we don't know if there's a setting on either of those that would work for your procedure, but there's a chance, I guess.
There is a chance, and we actually started off trying to do clinically relevant research by trying to buy one of these devices.
Yes.
But unfortunately, we were not able to open it up and play with it to get to the right dose.
They had it all sealed.
So therefore, we ended up making our own lasers for our studies. But the gold standard is still to work with the manufacturers because we are not going to be making these devices. That's not our business. That's not our job. So we do hope that we would work with commercial manufacturers to be able to provide this clinical device.
Okay. Well, that reminds me, though, because the BioLase water laser uses water, and would the laser that we would be using for this not use water?
No. So just so that your audience is clear, there are two different applications for light, laser light. One is to remove tissue or cut tissue in case of incisions. And in those cases, you're using high-power lasers. Now, high-power laser works in a different way. It actually photoablates, removes tissue by a different physical process. In contrast, the low-power lasers activate certain biological molecules that promote healing. So they are different dose regimens. They are not the same dose, but the tool may be the same. You can still use the same tool, but in two different ways.
Okay. Have you come up with a name for the procedure, like named it after your son or daughter or your wife or yourself?
I wish. No. So there is a whole field out there that has already been using low-level light. And the technical term that we prefer to use is called photobiomodulation.
Okay. Photobiomodulation.
That's right. And that basically refers to the ability of low-power lasers and other forms of light, including LEDs, that can stimulate the normal healing response.
Okay. And we wouldn't know if we got it right for several months, though.
So that is currently our research focus. So we are trying to outline the dose and the safety parameters in our current research. The work that was published was completed in 2011, 2012.
Wow.
And, of course, publications take a long time to come out, so it just got published. But since then, since 2012, we've been working on the safety and efficacy parameters, and we really hope that it comes out sooner than a few years. So the plan is to later this year or next year, we should be able to publish these new clinical parameters.
Oh, cool. So that actually brings me to my next question, which is if a person wants to learn more about your research, where would they look? How can they find out if they want to kind of follow this?
The best place, obviously, is the scientific database called PubMed. That is maintained by the National Library of Medicine. And all the latest research is published in the scientific journals is indexed in this database. Unlike the scientific database, there are also public press releases that come out at different institutes. And our institute, the National Institute of Dental and Craniofacial Research, also has information for the general public.
Okay, so it's PubMed, not ClubMed.
It's PubMed, PubMed.
And so they would just go there and type in, for example, Dr. Pavina Rani, and your research would come up?
All the publications that we have published in scientific journals would come up, yes. Google is equally powerful. If you do a Google search, you'll pick up a lot of the public press stories on the work.
That's good to know. And how is Dr. Mooney associated with this?
Yeah, so Professor Mooney was my mentor during my PhD and my postdoctoral work, and all the research that we did was performed in his lab in Boston, in Cambridge.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I contacted him and he put me in touch with you because apparently you're actually the catalyst, the brains behind this.
Right, and he keeps pointing out that I'm the dentist, so I should be answering the dental questions.
Oh, okay. That's why he immediately referred me to you. No, I'm happy because if you're the one that came up with this, probably the one I should be talking to. But no, that's very cool. And you're not very old of a guy. I was looking at your picture, and you've been working on this one project for 7 years. Well, were you 14 when you started?
No, I think I was 21, 22.
Okay.
In the early 20s.
You don't look much like more than 26 or 7 now, so good for you, whatever you do.
I was very interested as a dentist to understand how we could promote wound healing,
right?
Because wound healing is the basis for most of our oral diseases, whether it's inside the pulp or in the gums or in the cheeks. And that is what got me started. If I can stimulate wound healing, I would love to do that for our dental patients. And that's what started me on this work.
Now, do you anticipate that a person would have to be numb for this procedure?
So, I don't know, because we haven't, the animal studies, the animals don't tell us whether they're feeling pain, but we do put them under anesthesia, and it would, I think, be ideal if the patient was also anesthetized.
Okay.
Nonetheless, low-power lasers has also been used to reduce pain and inflammation. So, and again, that happens at a different power setting, a different dose. So depending on what you're trying to do in the clinical scenario, you may not need to numb the patient if you want to reduce pain. But if you want to stimulate dentine, it might need to be anesthetized or numbed.
Okay. And I would probably numb them anyway. I'll tell you, and you know this, the laser companies all tell us, and you can do this without numbing the patient, but because most of them don't feel it. Well, I don't want just most of my patients to be comfortable. I want them all to be comfortable. So I think I'm just going to numb everybody.
I'm with you on that. I think the patient perception is absolutely key to delivering effective care, and I'm with you on that.
So what would you want the takeaway message to be for my audience today?
So the way dentistry is practiced today is we try to replace a lost tooth structure with inert material. And we do a really good job. We are able to place crowns, do root canals, place dentures. The future of dentistry, at least according to us, would involve replacing the lost tooth structure or the oral structures with the natural tooth structures. And the way we would do that is to bring in the power of regenerative medicine to our dentistry. And that's where I think this technology, among many other promising technologies, is leading towards.
It's really, really cool, and I'm so glad we have folks like you out there doing this research. I actually very much appreciate the researchers like yourself, because I get to take the new procedures that you guys come up with and put them into practice, and I'm the one that gets the hugs and the thank you cards. So I'll be thinking of you when I get those hugs and thank you cards, okay?
Thank you very much.
And again, thank you so much for being on the show. We're going to put Dr. Arani's photograph and his bio on dentallyspeaking.com, so you'll be able to see who we've spoken to this morning and read a little bit more about his bio. His bio was so long, I had to cut it in half just to get it all in. He's a very, very busy guy. I want to remind folks that the Team Smile event that was scheduled for June 27th has been rescheduled for August 8th, so we still need dentists, hygienists, and dental assistants to help us with that. We also want to make sure that we have enough dentists and dental assistants and dental hygienists and regular just lay volunteers to help us with our Dentistry from the Heart event, which we are doing at our office on September 12th. That's from 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and that everybody can come and get free dental care that day. We have hundreds of volunteers. Remember, all of the podcasts are available at dentallyspeaking.com. Today was show number 338. And next week, we are going to have the probably the last of my tour of the Dr. John Harris Dental Museum. So be sure to join me Sunday, every Sunday morning, right here on your favorite station. Goodbye.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.